from the heart of the Forest City, this is a Craig Needles podcast brought to you by Lexus of London. Now here's your host, Craig Needles.
It is the Craig Needles podcast here on our Friday. No roundtable this week. We decided to do things a little bit differently just for this week. Roundtable will be back next week. It's been a weird week around here. I've been working different hours and got sick kids at home. It's a whole thing. So I wanted to focus this particular episode, not necessarily on the appointments to who is going to go on the London Public Library Board, because I can already hear people clicking on a new podcast episode to talk about something else. But that is what we're talking about, but it's going to be a springboard into what I think is a bigger picture conversation surrounding when we strive for diversity, when we're talking about board appointments or city council seats or whatever other position of power, if you want to call it that. When you're striving for diversity, you got to make sure you know what you're looking for, and you've got to make sure you've got all the information, because sometimes when you don't have those things, or sometimes when you change the process for the results to suit you a little bit better, you might wind up making a mistake. This brings us to, as I said, the London Public Library Board, which was one of the more competitive processes for trying to get on a board position. You may know this, but I'll give you a quick catch up. When council takes over for a new term, they name members of boards and commissions that serve through the very same four-year term. So Tourism London, London Transit, I think Covent Garden Market is on this list. There's different boards where they say, we take applications and we as councillors pick who gets to sit on them. And one of the ones that a whole lot of people wanted to be on was the London Public Library Board, which I hear it's real fun. I've never sat on a board or commission before. They don't allow me. But you see where I'm saying, it's something that was a pretty competitive process. And in the midst of this competitive process, councillors decided they didn't like the gender breakdown of what the voting spit out. The way that the voting works is you have seven spots. You can vote for seven candidates, and the seven candidates with the highest vote total wind up getting on the board. This is what Councillor Corinne Rahman had to say when she saw the names, I want to be very clear, just the names of the people who are going to be on the London Public Library Board.
I know it's difficult in a process like the one that we just went through, where we're putting our names forward and then, we're seeing how it all shakes out in terms of the names that end up coming forward. However, I will say that I think we have an opportunity to look at the list that has come forward and think about whether or not it reflects the gender diversity of what we want this committee to be. And so I'm putting this out there for thought, that we consider if there's any opportunity to reconsider the list based on that factor. Thank you.
So they did a revote. And in the midst of this revote, some people left the board, new people were on the board. So instead of having a gender breakdown a certain way that they had it earlier, it wound up being four women and three men. Okay. But wait, who was taken off the board during this process? As far as I know, the only non-binary applicant who wanted to serve on the London Public Library Board. And we heard all about how diversity is important for a board like the London Public Library. So wouldn't that diversity apply to someone who does not conform to the gender binary? I think that that's a reasonable thing to believe. So that's what happens when trying to become more diverse and you're focused on diversity goes wrong, is sometimes you can become less diverse if you don't have the information. Now, that non-binary candidate fortunately joins us here in studio today to talk about what happened at council the other night. That is Ryan O'Hagan. Ryan, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much, Craig.
So tell me your reaction to the way that this all shook down, because in the original version of what is going on here, there were seven people who were on the board. One of them, Ziba Hashmi, who worked on Josh Morgan's campaign, and Ziba lovely person. I very much like Ziva. Gets on the board, but she was the only person who identified as a woman who was on the board. There were other folks who were on the board and people didn't like the gender mix. They were concerned. They revote. You're not on there anymore. So you see the first draft of the list and there's Ryan. You're on the London Public Library board. How did you feel about that?
Yeah. So when I first saw a tweet out from a City Hall reporter showing the first slate of voted candidates and I was really excited. I thought I had submitted a strong application. The London Public Library is something that's super important to me as a teacher. So I was really excited to be put on the list. And then I kind of got busy doing other stuff, went to bed, and woke up to some messages saying like, whoa, didn't expect that to happen. And that's when I found out that in the search for some gender parity on the board, which I think is absolutely necessary, I had kind of been pushed out.
Yeah, and that's not the way it should have gone in my estimation. So here's the way it worked, and here's the way it broke down. So they saw the list, didn't like the list. Councillor Sean Lewis said, hey, I'm willing to change my vote, which to be clear, that's all Sean can really offer. He can't offer changing anyone else's vote. So he says, I'm willing to change my vote from one of the candidates whose name was a guy's name to Heather Jack, and therefore we can just have a board that in the case of Sean's motion would have been four people who identify as men, two as women, one non-binary, which sure, like if that's the board, sure. That motion winds up getting voted down. They do a whole revote, and then turns out that you're not on the board at all.
Yeah, and I think the problem is that they tried to do this in the heat of the moment.
Right.
So, again, I can't overstate enough that I love the thought behind what happened. Right.
Right.
I mean, diversity.
I don't think that the intentions were poor.
No,
but the results were poor.
And I think this is, and I sent an email to all of City Council yesterday morning. Mm-hmm. And I said, look, I'm a bit disappointed. I was really hoping to get onto the board. Here's where I think you went wrong. And I noted that I think that there's something that we can do about this, right? We could fix the application process to actually collect the demographic markers that you're going to use in your criteria, right? So if you're going to say, hey, we're electing 7 board members to the London Public Library Board, and we want it to be fairly gender diverse. Let's say we want 3 and 4 or you know, have at least one non-binary voice in there or one gender fluid voice in there or something. And we could add to the application a box to ask for gender. Now this is very quick thinking, right? We have a tool for this that the Diversity, Inclusion, and Anti-Oppression Committee Community Advisory Committee uses to change these processes. And I mean, there have been some comments on Twitter from people saying, well, what about somebody who's not comfortable expressing on that? And that's a valid point, too. So certainly there needs to be some thought into how we go about.
Did you make it voluntary?
Having this not happen again.
Yeah.
Right.
Just so, have a box for, you know, which gender you identify as. But if you don't fill it out, doesn't count. It's just like here's a space where you can write whatever you feel right. like. And if you write nothing, sure, that's fine. Like I feel there's a way around this.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
For
so
sure.
What I don't like is in the name of diversity, making poor choices.
And
I feel as though that's what happened here. Again, not because someone was being intentionally mean. It just sort of was a poor result.
Yeah, it just happened. This is just the way that it happened this
right.
time, right? And like I said, I think this just goes to show that it's important that we go through the planning. I mean, another candidate who also identified as LGBTQ, her application was actually rejected because she used the word queer in her application in reference to herself. So this application was sent through to City Hall, and then whatever filtering program they use actually rejected the application as using profanity. So,
interesting. I didn't realize that.
That candidate was informed in time, was able to get a new application sent in, and then was actually the subject of some of that debate on Wednesday night.
Yep.
But I mean, it just shows that the system needs to be changed, right? It needs to be updated to reflect.
Because what happened here with this was counselors were making decisions based off because they wanted certain boxes to be checked.
Right.
But they didn't ask anyone, hey, what boxes do you check?
And that's it. Yeah. And we're sitting here saying that the initial makeup based on that first vote was 5 men, 1 woman, and 1 non-binary person.
As far as we
but
know.
But I'm guessing that too.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like, I don't know that that's the case. It's
now, some of the people who are on that board, I know.
Of course.
And so I know Scott Collier quite well, and I've known Scott for a long time. I know Jeremy McCall. I know Ziba, as I said. So, like, I know where they would identify on the gender spectrum. But you're right. I don't know every single person.
And that was my thing, too. And I said this was one of my other concerns were with some folks who didn't have traditionally English names that I certainly wouldn't attribute a gender to, right? Like, if I don't recognize that name, I might not know if that's a traditionally male or female name. So I just think that by not collecting that data...
Why are you making decisions off of... You didn't even collect the data.
Yeah.
So why are you making decisions off the result of that uncollected data?
And I mean, it's important to note that at one point, Councillor Hopkins, who is not new to city council by any means, said, this is getting confusing.
Yeah. Right?
And I mean, the mayor did a fantastic job of taking the time to explain to everybody what was happening at various points. But like at one point in the meeting, there was a main motion and then 2 amendments to that main motion, and it was just so confusing.
Oh, yeah. It was, and look, I've been watching City Hall meetings for a long time. I've been doing this job for 15 years. And I wasn't so much confused by what they were doing. I knew what was going on. I just didn't know why they did it this way. And I thought that Councillor Pelosa had kind of the right angle of this, which was like, we don't get to pick and choose who we work with on these boards, which I think is very important. And B... I think this is important too. Once you start moving around the results of the process in the middle of the process, and she acknowledged this, you're going to get some weird results that you don't like. And I think that's exactly what happened.
And I don't know everybody that's been appointed to the board.
Yeah.
But Elizabeth did also make the comment, like in searching, like she mentioned that in searching for diversity, we may have just wiped out LGBTQ representation on the board. Now, there may be somebody on the board who is LGBTQ.
There is. Yeah. Now, I actually want to correct something that I tweeted earlier. I said that she was correct about that. I don't think that's completely accurate. But what I'd first taken from the quote was we had wiped out some LGBTQ representation, not all, but some, which that's objectively true because I know enough of the people on the board to be able to say that that's the case. And so to have you not there anymore, that limits the representation.
For sure.
Yeah. So you mentioned there are different things we can do. We talk about let's have forms where you fill out and you have options as to whether, you know, what experience do you have from a gender? Well, I don't know how the question be worded, but no one has to fill out every single box, but you can if you want to, if you feel as though you have some life experience that would help. And people might be saying, hey, what is, you know, being non-binary or being gay or being racialized, whatever it happens to be, have to do with the library board? I would argue the library board might be one of our most, if not the most important citizen boards that we have in the city, just because the library is so important to so many people's lives. It may not be important to you necessarily, dear listener, but it's important to a lot of people's lives.
And Councillor Lewis said this on Wednesday night. He said, let's make sure that we reflect this city's diversity in our selection for this board. He said, when you walk into a library, you know, there's no place with more diversity, right? I definitely think that diversity is important in all boards. I think in this board in particular, it's where you're going to find the most diverse Londoner using. So it makes sense to
absolutely
to diversify that board.
Yeah, no, libraries are really important, really important. And I know that people might, well, hey, no, who checks out paperback books anymore? There's so much more than that that goes on in the library.
Yeah,
there's so much more than that.
And I put this in my application. Like, I think this is something that's. I mean, I remember a few years ago, and it's a while now, when they took off fines from library books, right? And people were in an uproar about that. How are we going to fund this library? And I mean, you look at our library, and it's pretty world class, really. I mean, we have 3D printers. We've got access to thousands of film titles. I took a book out yesterday for the first time in a bit, right? But like our libraries are used for resume building for people who are unhoused. It's used for looking for shelter. It's used for the only access to internet that somebody might have who's waiting on an email from a job offer. So We have programs that help support new Canadians and new Londoners and immigrants. And so just all of these things are so important to London's culture. So
yeah, yeah, it's huge. And that's a good one that you mentioned too. Whereas people who don't have a place to go at night, if they're applying for jobs or looking for a place to live or what happened, like the library is where they go to use the internet to find that stuff.
Well, of course. That's the only spot that they can access internet, right? I mean, these people don't have access to a phone plan where they have unlimited data, right?
Yeah.
And if they do have a phone, then sure, they can use places like Tim Hortons or McDonald's or somewhere with Wi-Fi.
Library,
right?
Is a place too.
But to build a resume, I mean, there's really only one spot that you can go to get help with building a resume, right?
Yeah.
The London Public Library is just so important.
Yeah, no, I think it's important too. So this is not a final decision yet. This was a decision made by SPPC, which is a committee made up of every member of council. Council gets to make a final call on this next week at some point, I believe.
Tuesday.
So that's Tuesday is the 22nd. Are you hopeful, or is there a possibility that perhaps minds are changed about what happened with you here, or that this may go a different way, or is that not really crossed your mind?
I'm really conflicted on this. So I'm not going to comment on it.
Okay, that's fair. So I guess, speculate about the conflict?
My conflict is, when I first tweeted out that I was disappointed, I didn't expect it to be a thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like it was something like, I'm bummed. Yeah. I wanted to be on the public library board, right? But there were 31 applicants.
Yeah.
Right? So when I saw the agenda, I was like, okay, a lot of people.
It'd be cool, right, if I was, but who knows?
For seven seats. So part of me, Craig, wants to be like, yeah, they need to get back to SPPC and adjust this list. And the other part of me says, you know, there are now people that have been selected for this list who are excited to be on the board, right? So, you know, I don't know how it would go in the very first meeting if I'm there knowing that I've just booted someone else out, you know?
I agree.
So I don't want, ultimately, I do have an opinion on this. I do know which way I lean, but I don't want that to influence council's decision. Mm-hmm. If I get the spot, I want it to be on my merit and my application. I don't want it to be because I've come on Needles on Needles to say that they need to backtrack.
Yeah, and that's entirely fair. And again, you're right. There are seven people who are on that board or who are pretty excited about it, and I know a bunch of them. And you know, there's people that have experience being on the library board or the city boards, whatever it happens to be. So I don't think that you have to remove this person and put me on there is a political position you should be holding right now. I think that's very fair of you. So going forward then, does this discourage you from wanting to apply for city boards and commissions in the future? Or do you just want to see the process refined first? Or,
you know, I received a number of messages through text, through Twitter DMs from counselors. I received some messages from just some people that I know in the city that happen to be paying attention to the selection process. And I'll definitely apply again. There is currently one board that didn't have enough members apply. So I have reached out to the city to see if I can apply to fill that last spot. Now, based on what was said at council, there looks like there might have been another applicant who had submitted it. So I'm not sure if that's available or not. But I'll certainly apply again. You know, the London Public Library Board is where I most want to be for sure. But there were a number of boards that I would have been interested in sitting on.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. I hope that there is some level of just look at how this can go a bit better in the future. And again, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm angry at Councillor X or angry at Councillor Y, which I typically have no problem doing on this podcast. But I don't think anyone was being deliberately malicious or even incompetent necessarily. I just think that when you adjust a process like naming seven people to a board on the fly, that's just that's a plan that's fraught with peril, and a perilous outcome happens to have occurred here.
Yeah, of course. you know, and refining this process will happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it will. We've got phenomenal people on council right now. Our council as a whole is incredibly progressive. They're going to see what happened. They're going to recognize these problems. From my understanding, based on a tweet, Councillor Frank is already kind of trying to figure out how to write something up to initiate
to this, solve this problem this, in the future, hypothetically.
Yep. Or to initiate the change. So we'll see what that looks like. I'm assuming it'll get
discussed,
brought up on Tuesday. So we'll see what she ends up coming up with. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Like I said, I mean, I think the entire process, you could update it and add a few demographic questions to try to really ensure some kind of parity and diversity on those commissions. So it'll be interesting to see what they kind of come up with. And it'll be interesting to see if that comes back to me in the diversity, inclusion, and anti-oppression community advisory committee. It'll be interesting to see if we get to.
I hope it does. I want to ask you then, when in the process of trying to get on a board or commission, so you say, hey, I want to get on Lennon Public Library Board. Did you talk to a few councillors about it, to one or two? How did that go? Because here's the thing, and people don't like to hear this, but this is true. If you want to be on those boards and commissions, you've got to at least call your own councillor and say, hey, can you help me out with this?
Well, and that's for sure. So when I applied to the community advisory committee mm-hmm. that I'm on, the DIACAC, I had spoken to a few councillors about it before then. And then when it came to Lennon Public Library Board, I had reached out to Mariam. To talk to her about
Mariam served on that board as a citizen appointee for some time.
So she is familiar with it. I spoke to a couple of city staffers that I'd met through committee to kind of get an idea of what goes on. And then I went and I picked the committee that I was most the council that I was most the board that I was most interested in. and then I went back and read a few of their agendas and stuff to get an idea of what it was they discussed, what it is they do. And then I used that to influence my answers as I applied to be on the board.
Oh, there you go. Okay, sure. You talked to Councillor Lewis at some point in the process, right?
Oh, I probably, yes.
Yeah, okay. I just remember you mentioning that you had talked to him afterwards.
I had spoken to Councillor Lewis had sent me a message following the debate, or I sent him a message, mm-hmm. I think, and then he responded following the debate. And he had pointed out that he had brought up the fact that I was a part of the LGBTQ community, but I'm not sure if Councillor Lewis knew how much he could share or
right.
he wanted to.
Well, he's not outing people at council. That's not appropriate.
Of course. Yeah. So he was, I think he was a bit more careful than I would have been okay with, but I absolutely understand mm-hmm. Councillor Lewis's hesitation there. I mean, that's something that not everybody is comfortable with being yep. brought up in a council meeting. So he had brought up my name during it, but again, during the council meeting, I mean, some of the councillors know that I'm non-binary, and plenty of them don't, especially the newer ones. So.
Yeah, well, that's okay. It's just like I said, it's the result that isn't great. But I don't necessarily hold this against anyone. I just think that it's a cautionary tale for the future. Whereas if you're saying, hey, where you want to change this or change this for diversity's sake, that's fine. Just make sure you know what you're doing.
And that's like for me in this kind of situation, my preference would be, hey, we've identified a problem in the application mm-hmm. process. So we are either going to accept these candidates based on the application that we gave them, or we will update the application process and have them reapply. That is how this should have been done, in my opinion.
Right.
And then that way they wouldn't have run into the issue of actually removing some diversity by mistake. I really am interested to see what the process looks like once they've got everything sorted out and a new application process figured out.
Yeah, I'm also very interested in that. I hope that it goes all right. I hope that there is at least. And I think there is some recognition that a mistake happened here. And I think that's very, very clear.
Oh, I definitely think that's the case. And yeah. I mean, we've seen it, right? Like we've seen it from some councillors tweeting out about this. I mean, a bunch of just Londoners, some that I know, some that I don't, have tweeted out about this. I think there's definitely some cognizance that something went awry.
Right. Well, it's, hopefully that's hopefully that turns into some results here. Before we go, Ryan, anything else that is on your mind that's bugging you want to talk about? About literally anything in the whole world. or even something that you think is great that you want to talk about.
Yeah,
I want to give you the floor to talk about whatever you want.
The London Underpass is great.
Okay.
the Adelaide Underpass.
Yeah. Well,
been looking forward to that underpass for 15 years.
I understand. Look, I've seen this criticism before. Oh, we're doing another project just for cars. Like, I've been sitting at that train crossing on Adelaide next to idling LTC buses for 15, 20 minutes at a time.
So
seems bad.
So you're right. This is something that's infrastructure based for cars, which is problematic on its own. I get that. But the environmental impact that this underpass will have is going to be huge.
Right.
Right. I mean, I've been stuck at that train track for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And most people don't turn the cars off. Nope. Right. They sit there idling. And I mean, anybody who lives in London knows how bad it can be. Right. Like, you can be backed up to Oxford one way and King the other way. Right. So building an underpass that's going to stop all that idling is massive.
And the other part is, this is important, ambulances need to get around.
Yeah, and there was an ambulance stuck at that crossing a few days ago. Now, luckily, the CN driver did pull forward so that the arms could go up and he could get out. But that's, I mean, our first responders need to be able to navigate through the city.
We can't have shunting while ambulances wait to get by.
Like, especially when they're there for 20, 25 minutes, right? Yeah. Like, it's nothing for that train to back up and reverse an inch every 5 minutes for half an hour. Like, that's...
Yep. Well, that's a good thing to bring up. I need to do a little more fulsome... A little more fulsome
A little expensive, but I think it's worth everything.
Well, here's the thing. It's expensive to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, we want to do this or we want to do that. Like, everything's expensive. It's a matter of, where you want to put the priorities.
Yeah.
And yeah, for me, I think that, hey, let's make it so we don't have LTC buses sitting idling for 20 minutes. Worth a few bucks.
Yeah, it wouldn't make me mad.
Call me crazy. Ryan, thank you very much for doing this.
Thanks so much, Craig.
It's Ryan O'Hagan joining us here on the Craig Needles podcast, which of course you can find at classicrock981.com and londonnewstoday.ca. The Craig Needles podcast, of course, is brought to you by our friends over at Lexus of London. Lifestyle with a drive, your new Lexus is patiently waiting at the award-winning Lexus of London. Luxury redefined. You can find them at 1065 Warrencliffe Road South and online at lexusoflondon.com.
The Craig Needles podcast is a presentation of the Blackburn Media Podcast Network.